This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Doctor's gender matter when it comes to your health? Now, my answer to this would have been, prior to a day ago, no, it absolutely doesn't. And I would have been absolutely wrong. A doctor's gender matters when it comes to your health. Researchers from UCLA have found that patients receiving treatment from a female doctor, from female physicians, have lower mortality rates and fewer hospital readmissions compared to those treated by male doctors. Female patients seem to benefit the most from this. Now, that doesn't necessarily surprise me, the female-to-female effect, because, you know, I would think that if you're a female, you're more likely to understand certain aspects of, you know, of female anatomy. You're more likely to understand the things that females go through. I get that. But the fact that patients of both genders have a greater success rate with a female doctor, that was a little surprising. The study was published in the journal Annals of Internal Medicine, and it analyzed Medicare claims data from 2016 to 2019 for over 700,000 patients. And they found that the mortality rate for female patients was 8.1% when receiving care from female physicians, compared to 8.38% when the physician was male. While that might seem small, it's considered pretty significant by researchers. Male patients also fared better under the care of female doctors. That's what I don't necessarily understand. If you're a male patient, why would you have a lower risk of dying and a lower risk of being readmitted to the hospital with a female doctor? It's less pronounced with men. Their mortality rate was 10.15% with female physicians compared to 10.23% with male physicians. So it's in spitting distance. A similar pattern emerged for hospital readmission rates. Patients were less likely to return to the hospital within 30 days of a discharge if a female doctor saw them during their initial visit. Researchers have proposed a lot of possible explanations for this. One potential factor is that male doctors might underestimate the severity of illness in their female patients. Previous research has shown that male physicians tend to downplay women's pain levels. Communication may also play a role. Female doctors might be better at communicating with their female patients, creating a more open and trusting relationship. This could make women more likely to share important health information that leads to better diagnosis and treatment plans. I can buy that too. I can buy both of those. But I am leaving room for another possibility. I am wondering if women are just by nature more nurturing. Look, I think it's clear that there are differences between the genders. And women are biologically hardwired to be mothers and to raise children. And I think that part of that biological hardwiring leads them to be more sensitive, more caring, more empathetic, and yes, more likely to want to help someone feel better. I think it could be as simple as that. And I'll be honest, after reading this study, I don't really have one physician. I do have one doctor's office that I go to regularly. It's kind of a husband and wife team. But I am thinking of having my primary care physician be a female doctor. I would love to know what you think about this. 800-848-9222. What does this research say to you? Are female doctors better listeners? Do they tune into their patients better than male doctors? I'd especially like to know either if you're a female doctor yourself or if you've been treated by both male doctors and female doctors for the same thing, meaning if you had, say, a male gynecologist and a female gynecologist, or a male oncologist and a female oncologist, and you noticed a difference in how they approached your care, because these are real numbers, and I am fascinated by them. What do you think? 800-848-9222. Why do female doctors have better results for their patients?
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space, and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
Tony, do you have a female doctor or a male doctor?
I have a male doctor, but let me tell you a story. When I was a kid, my mother took me to a pediatrician, and the doctor was a female, and she was checking me, and I had to pull my pants down. I was about 3 or 4, and I was like, no, I'm not doing it. They had to get a male nurse to come in to look at me, and I remember the male nurse said, don't worry, when you get my age, you're going to want a female doctor.
Matt Blaze, you female or male doctor?
I've never had a female doctor.
You've never had?
No, I'm
trying to think if I have. You know what? So much of care these days is done by physician's assistants that it's difficult to remember when you're treated by a doctor, when you're treated by a physician's assistant. Like I said, the doctor's office that I do go to, they're a husband and wife team. So sometimes the woman sees you, the wife, and sometimes a male sees you. And so I guess I have been treated by a female doctor, and I really didn't notice any difference in their treatment or anything like that. I like them both. They both seem nice. They both seem competent. And I went to them both. I think I only went to them both for a checkup. I didn't really have anything wrong with me. So I've not noticed anything difference between the treatment that a female doctor gives versus a male doctor. But there was another interesting story that I saw. And if you have, let me know, 800-848-9222, in one of the many newsletters that I subscribe to. And initially I thought it was the same study, but it's not. It is not the same study, but it said physician empathy was tied to better outcomes for chronic pain patients. And sure enough, this is another study, not nearly as broad as the one that involved the broads, but this was another study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, their Access Journal. And this research underscores the importance of physician empathy with doctor-patient relationships, determining that it's linked to better outcomes in the treatment of people with chronic pain. So over the course of 12 months, again, we're talking only about 1,500 patients here. Over the course of 12 months, patients who were treated by, quote, very empathic physicians reported significantly better and clinically relevant outcomes pertaining to pain, function, and health-related quality of life than patients treated by only slightly empathic physicians. This study didn't have anything to do with gender, but I really believe that the results from both of these, the results showing that patients of female doctors are living longer and are admitted to the hospital less, and this other study, totally separate, done by a totally separate group, published in a totally separate journal, showing that physician empathy is tied to better outcomes for chronic pain. I think it's really the same story. I think women are naturally more empathetic than men. And I think they may be better suited to be doctors. Never thought I would say this until seeing both of these stories. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, interesting conversation. I have both male and female specialists, whether it's dermatology or gastro or any, let's say, cancer-related issues. And when I called up to speak to these different departments to get a doctor, I had one requirement. I didn't care if it was male or female. I had one requirement. I do not want a doctor recommended to me who is over 55.
Hmm.
And the response that I got was, oh, sir, you know, we're really not allowed to do that. So I said, oh, I understand. But if you were allowed to do that, who would you recommend? Oh, I think Dr. So-and-so. And I have wound up with the best specialist. This happens to be New York Presbyterian.
Well, Michael, I'm curious, though. Why don't you want older doctors? I would think the older doctors are more experienced. They've seen it all. They have probably dealt with whatever your issue is. Why would you want to ignore that experience and go with a younger doctor?
Okay, I don't mean somebody that just got his, medical
degree.
Right,
but why that magic age of 55?
Ah, well, 55 with a cutoff of 60. Because the younger doctors, and I ask them, are more prone to be reading current papers on their specialties. Hmm. The older doctors, I find, not so much.
So
and
tell me.
I have had the best experience. I'll give you just one quick example.
Mm-hmm.
I had a triple hernia operation, which is the most you can have. And although I found it very uplifting. But I was warned, you're going to have surgery like that. You better get a friend or some sort of nurse that can help you after the operation, because you are gonna be in pain. And you know what? I had laparoscopic, robotic, triple hernia surgery. I got up the next morning, and I'm saying to myself, where's the pain? I went to the bathroom, walked to the bathroom, no pain. I put my clothes on, no pain. I walked 6 blocks to get something to eat, no pain.
But Michael, I want to get some other people here. Is there an end to this story?
There is an end. It's a question of quality. I don't give a damn if they're male or female.
Right.
I want to know.
So how do you explain these results? How do you explain these results? What's your theory?
Oh, I would like to see what exact background, what are the actual figures within the within this analysis. Look, it's the same thing like you take a political poll and then you find out, well, how come they had 75% Democrats and only
25%? Right, okay. Well, we're not going to blame this one on the Democrats, Michael. Thank you. But if you look at what Dr. Yusuke Sugawa, who's an associate professor in residence of medicine in general internal medicine and health services at UCLA, said in the media release on this. She said, what our findings indicate is that female and male physicians practice medicine differently, and these differences have a meaningful impact on patients' health outcomes. Is that true? If you're a female doctor, or if you've been a patient of both a female and a male doctor, is that true? 800-848-9222. If not, how do you explain this? Is it communication? That's one theory. Is it underestimating the severity of illness? Or is it the Frank Morano theory, which is that women are just naturally more empathetic? And as suggested by that other study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, an empathetic doctor is a better doctor. 800-848-9222. Dale is in Iowa. Hi, Dale.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, I kind of like the experience having been lived by a doctor. And for the older person, I think the older doctor is a little better.
Me too. I would always pick an older doctor.
My mother's 94, and as they move, even the people who work around the hospital move her around, they don't have an understanding of, you know, the fragility of the body at that point. And I'm wondering, too, I mean, I think for a man, if they're working with the male plumbing, there's a little better understanding of what that feeling is. I think it would be the same for women working with women and understanding the female aspects of the body. But I also wonder if it isn't possible that the person who's willing to go with the opposite sex has maybe a general characteristic or demeanor that makes them healthier in the first place. So it's just a natural result of the person choosing the doctor that they're a little healthier. I think that's out there in other regards that we look at different scientific studies and you always wonder, well, are these people who are healthier and choosing healthier lifestyles living longer and getting along because of their attitude? And I wonder how far that might go in these studies that maybe hasn't been considered.
Yeah, Dale, I quite frankly, I don't know. I think it's certainly interesting and certainly worth considering. Dale, I appreciate the call. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. We're also on Twitter, by the way, at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. And I know it's still, it's technically called X. No one calls it X. Yeah, I go through my whole day and even articles still referring to it as X, formerly known as Twitter. Twitter! Just call it Twitter. That's what I do. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment on the, I think, really surprising and somewhat interesting data here showing that the patients of female doctors are better off than the patients of male doctors. Viviana is in Brooklyn. Hello, Viviana.
How you doing? I've had mixed experiences. One, I had a male doctor. He was very callous. He was very, like, presumptive. When I'd explain something, he'd go kind of, like, dismiss it. And then I switched to female doctors, and I had better outcomes because they heard me out. And also female to female, in my experience, they were able to acknowledge some of the things that a female would acknowledge. However, my mom has a male doctor that his temperament is absolutely wonderful, and he takes care of her like his mom. So I would think that these studies are correct, and I feel much, much better, and I feel healthier because I didn't have that kind of condescending attitude, and not every male doctor is like that.
No, of course not. Of course not. There's a lot of great. I want to make that very clear. I mean, Viviana, thank you. And I think your point, thank you, appreciate that. Your point's one worth repeating, as is Dale in Iowa. I think the female-to-female aspect makes the most sense to me. And I can understand why there's such an uptick in health outcomes for female to female. The female to male, I don't get. I don't get because, you know, for the same reason a 3 or 4 year old Tony didn't want to, you know, show off his goods to the female pediatrician. I think men, even if they're at 35 or 40, 45, 50, 65, there is an element of embarrassment about not wanting to share the inner workings of your health, particularly if we're talking about very intimate stuff. I'm thinking about things like the prostate, but also other things with women. So I am not totally shocked at the female to female lower mortality rate. I am pretty surprised at the female to male lower mortality rate. And I think my explanation of women being more naturally empathetic is the outcome that is most likely to be the case. We'll continue with your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Santos. Wonderful. A female doctor, albeit a dentist. I'm not sure how many dental patients end up dead, although come to think of it, I guess all of them end up dead eventually. But I'm not sure dentistry is counted in the numbers that we're talking about here. 800-848-9222. We're going to get back to your calls in a moment. I had indicated yesterday that we had expected to chat with Judge Andrew Napolitano today. And boy, oh boy, do I have a lot of issues to go over with Judge Andrew Napolitano. But the judge and I were texting yesterday, and he got, you know, very busy and was tied up with all sorts of radio and TV stuff, and basically said that he couldn't come on live. And then he said, well, what if we tape something? I said, okay, how about if we tape it X time? No, can't do it. And he says, well, what if we tape at 4:30? I said, okay, let me see. Let me try to make that work. So I taped an interview with Ron Kuby, activist attorney to the left, yesterday. And I thought it would go about 20, 30 minutes. We ended up talking for an hour. And yesterday, Carmine got no napping. Almost no nap. He slept for less than an hour. And then he decided right before it was time for me to do this interview with Kuby that he was going to be wide awake. And my wife basically had to stop what she was doing with her work day and take care of Carmine for an hour so I could do this interview with Kuby. So I do the interview, and then the first words out of Rachel's mouth when I go back into our family room was, finally, boy, that was a long interview. And so at that point, it's now 3:30. So there was no way realistically I could say, well, honey, I know you just took an hour out of your workday and our son is wide awake and pretty tired from not having gotten a good afternoon's nap, but I'm going to need you to, in an hour, watch him again for 20 or 30 minutes. That was not happening. Not happening. So the judge said he will make an effort to appear on this program tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. But it was a fascinating conversation with Kuby, though. I will say that. But anyway, so that was where we were in terms of yesterday. We had a fun day yesterday. Beautiful day in our neighborhood. We were outside. The ice cream man was in full effect, and we did a lot of playing outside. It was just a perfect spring day, as far as I was concerned. All right, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Ed in Westchester. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Great.
So,
thank you.
I actually have two comments. The first is about the female versus the male physician.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it's got to do with the specialty. I can't imagine going to a female urologist and speaking to them about my ED and my male issues as far as stuff like that goes.
Sure.
So I think it's a lot's got to do with specialty. As far as the older versus the younger physician, a lot of it's got to do with technique and keeping up with current standards.
But what does? Is there any data that shows either older or younger physicians are getting better outcomes for their patients?
Well, I can tell you from personal experience. I've had three hip replacements, which is more than most people have. My first surgeon that I went to specialized in doing it a certain way. That's all he knew. And he was not willing to learn the newer way, which took a lot more skill set. The younger physician, he knew the newer way, and the newer way is far faster recovery, but that's what he knew. So by going to the newer physician, I was able to recover much faster. Hmm. And the older physician, and I would venture to say the physicians are human. They're going to go with what they know as far as recommending techniques. And so that's why, you know, it can make a difference.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would be curious to see if anyone has studied that, the way they've studied gender. I'm sure someone has. I'll look into that. I think that's interesting. 800-848-9222. I wanted to remind you, if you haven't already done so, please listen to this week's edition of The Racket Report, where my guest is Joe McBratney. And Joe McBratney is the son of Jimmy McBratney, who was killed by John Gotti 51 years ago in a case where John Gotti only got 3 years in prison. Ironically, the prosecutor in that case that agreed to that deal with Roy Cohn, who was Gotti's lawyer, he just passed away. I'm going to be going to his wake this afternoon. But he was, you know, an interesting guy, irrespective of this case. But anyway, Joe McBratney talked a little bit about what he's doing now. Basically, growing up without a father, he ended up getting involved in a lot of the same kind of hijinks that his father did. And he developed a pretty serious drinking problem, and he's been able to turn his life around, and he says he's trying to help a lot of other folks do the same thing.
I wanted to put a stop to the alcohol problem that was known to be in my family in the DNA. So I got myself cleaned up, and I decided I was going to save lives. And I've done interventions on kids from, I think, 13 years old to 85 years old. And it's been for 23 years changing lives. It's been 50% success rate because people don't stop, but I bring them to the door of treatment and recovery and pray for them and hope they make it. And the truth is, you know, changing the sins of the family, you know, it's not many kids who grow up like me make it to the age I'm at or to the profession that I'm at, to saving lives instead of taking them.
So it was a really interesting conversation. If you want to hear the whole conversation, just search The Racket Report on any podcast app. And you can also just go to redapplepodcastnetwork.com and just search The Racket Report, and it comes right up, and you can listen to my most recent episode with Joseph McBratney, the son of James McBratney. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Michael, what do you most want to say?
Frank, what I'm going through since Christmas, no doctors in America are empathic. My fiance got diagnosed with interstitial lung disease. Mm. We've been going through Presbyterian and Montefiore hospitals, and there is no empathy. And then we've talked to the Lung Association. They said this is a national pandemic where the doctors don't care about the patients. COVID, this has nothing to do with the care of patients. It's all about money. It's all about, they wanted me to take her to get a pulmonary function test. And I said, excuse me, I can't get her out the door. Is there another way that a doctor could do a telemed or come here? No, because the insurance companies, we have to have this pulmonary function test so that the insurance companies know how much they could give you for oxygen. Whoa. And I said, are you kidding me? They said, when she gets to the door,
she got her heart rate goes up to 120 and her oxygen goes down to 70 with oxygen. They said, Michael, don't worry about that. If anything happens, call 911 and we'll get her to the emergency room. It said, do no harm. But they want me to harm her in order to get them to do this test that the insurance company pays for.
No, I mean, it's
the
terrible.
Second part is,
but Michael, just again,
foreign
Michael,
doctors.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
Foreign doctors. We've got, well, we have no American doctors anymore. These are all foreign doctors. They're vetted in other countries. We don't know. Their quality of education is not like you would get in America. And these foreign doctors are so arrogant. And I've come across female and male doctors, foreign doctors, who are they have no empathy towards towards my fiance. They don't care what happens to her. So for 2 weeks now, we're over here. I don't know. She could die. One doctor says, "Oh, you have a year to live." It's like, excuse me. So can you help me? No.
Well, I mean, that's awful, Michael. I'm sorry, and I wouldn't wish what you're going through and what your fiance is going through on anyone. I still don't necessarily think that explains why the patients of female doctors have better outcomes than the patients of male doctors. But I appreciate you sharing your story, and I'm wishing you the best of luck. 800-848-9222. By the way, I have. So if you want to follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan, you'll also be able to participate in our Facebook group where people are commenting on what we're doing on the radio. So you can just go to facebook.com/groups/RadioMorano, or just go online and just search Morano, MORANO, Radio Fans and Haters. Let me say hello to Larry in Brooklyn. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Frank. Since you switched topics, I got to switch topics. Okay. So about these doctors, I think I got the answer to your question. You see, I don't think that traditional differences between male and female would surface in a statistical study. It's too subtle. Empathy and things like that, it's too subtle to make a statistical difference. What is making the statistical difference is there's been a change in the medical profession in recent years towards arrogance. They've become much more arrogant, the doctors, and that goes mostly with the males. You see, women are more resistant to arrogance. And I'll tell you, I experienced this myself. I'll give you a good example. About a month and a half ago, I had to go to the emergency room because I flung myself out of bed into a piece of furniture and I got an abscess on my leg.
Oh, sorry. 20
years, yeah. Okay. So basically, I injured myself, and so it had to be treated. You know, I also got cellulitis because of it. So it had to be treated with antibiotics and all this stuff. So after I got the whole rigmarole of tests and everything, and there was a resolution, the nurse comes over to me with the medicine and the discharge papers. The doctor doesn't come over. He's too great, high and mighty. The guy is a resident. He's too high and mighty to come over. I might have had questions. I did have questions. In fact, because I didn't get to answer my questions, I got into a complication with the antibiotics. So the male doctors want you to regard them as God, you know, like you listen to me, you listen to the instructions. Otherwise, I don't care what happens to you. And you see, it's that kind of arrogance that has finally made its way into the statistics. That's what I believe.
Well, so, you know, that's interesting. And I actually buy that. And I don't know that that's terribly different from the point that I was trying to make about that there being natural gender differences in characteristics that men have versus women. And I think that, you know, obviously there's a lot of room for exceptions here. I think that men are more likely to be arrogant, but I also think women are more likely to be empathetic. So I buy that. I absolutely can agree with that, Larry. Larry, best of luck with your health situation.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you had another thought there. 800-848-9222. George, would you most want to say?
Hi there. Okay, excellent terminology. Arrogant versus empathetic. And that's exactly what I've experienced, you know, empirically, having visited dozens and dozens of doctors over the decades. All right. But mostly dermatologists. Now, I've noticed something tremendous. Women spend more time, have spent more time with me by far. They've been more cautious and, vis-a-vis prescriptions, etc. But then the male dermatologist, for example, he hardly checked my foot, for example, which was very itchy, etc., from a good distance of 10 feet and immediately went for his prescription papers. And prescribed a list they have quite often, in my humble opinion, doctor, dermatologists, for instance, and they just pick one or two of the medications, etc., haphazardly, you know, and notwithstanding you've got psoriasis, in your case, for instance, or it's seborrheic dermatitis on my scalp I had. I visited male doctors, for example, I found the women superior, you know, more happy with them. Now, women, when it came to a surgery a few years ago, hernial, you know, inguinal hernial, you know, and I would have preferred a male doctor, and it's, and that's what happened, you know. But maybe that was for privacy reasons, etc. But nevertheless, women are by far better when it comes to superficial care for patients. When it comes to massive surgical situation, like brain surgery, etc., you got to look at a doctor with tremendous experience, know-how, and so forth. And quite often, you tend historical reasons, you know, to go for the male rather than the female. But when it comes to cosmetic situations, etc., you tend to go for the female, you know. So basically, females, in my humble opinion, I have also experienced, they're much more honest, you know, than males.
Well, that goes to the the communication hypothesis that some people have raised here. George, thank you. And saying that that's the reason for the difference in outcomes is that women are just better communicators than men. And, you know, I can buy that, too. I can buy that, too. I'll tell you this. I'm going to do whatever I can to find a female doctor next time. And I've already described how, you know, we may be in the market for a new pediatrician because of some issues that my son's pediatrician has gone through. Maybe we'll take a look at a female pediatrician there to see if that's if that might be a good fit. 800-848-9222. Elizabeth is in Baltimore. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you doing, Frank? Good morning.
Morning.
My voice is a little rough. Excuse me.
You sound great.
But thank you, sir. Thank you. So I've been in the medical field almost 30 years, and I really do understand more about the female, maybe being a female. But I believe that the females have that intuitive mother side, but it's also more so the way that we have to really get in there and work harder than men to get through.
Oh.
So I think that there's been, yes, you know, predominantly there were not many physicians female until the 18, you know, really maybe the 19, you know, that we really saw predominantly more females even getting through medical school. But you have to really work harder as a female in every which way. And we would always joke being in nursing that we do 95% of the work and the docs do 5. And so then again, it goes to that female. Females are teaching females. So if I would have a brand new internist, I would have to, you know, teach her. She knew I had 10 or 15 years of nursing already. So she would pick up and take on that historical background, like a database. I would just give her the podcast, as it were, you know, hands-on training. So a teaching hospital is one of the best things. And then women, you can see, do excel. I mean, I won't go in. I'm going to email you because it's very interesting
what
a lot of these guys are going through. But absolutely, women, you know, we are just hardwired to be mothers. And, you know,
I certainly think that's the case. But I think the point that you raise about women having to work harder to overcome certain barriers, it's one that I haven't even considered. And that's exactly why I am glad that we've had some women call in on this subject. We'll give the last word on this topic to Rosemary, who's listening in Connecticut. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi there. I'll try to make it very brief. It has to do with the upbringing. Girls are brought up, expected to be more empathetic. And that follows through to whatever they do in life. And men are not. Now, there are a lot of men who are empathetic, and sure, that's good. But it's not their primary focus.
Yeah.
Or it's not the primary focus of the people who are bringing them up.
Got it. I think you're right. And I don't know whether the factors that make women more empathetic than men are a result of them being, as I said earlier, hardwired by nature, or if it's, as you suggest, something that is a result of their upbringing. Could be both, Rosemary. Thank you. But I think the result is the same, which is, I think women are more empathetic. I think, as Larry said, and I wouldn't have thought of this, I think men maybe might be a little more dismissive, a little more arrogant. And I think maybe that's part of the difference that you're seeing here. But I thought it was a fascinating, fascinating trend and worth noting and worth exploring. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you got the liquor, start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young. That's what I said.
The great Billy Joel talking about only the good dying young. I guess that's because the good all have male doctors. This is Billy Joel, who is a favorite of Dom Elagia, who is celebrating his birthday today. He is a great guy. For 4 years was the PA announcer at the Brooklyn Cyclones, where I worked with him for 3 years, but he's also an actor, and he's done a lot of things in sports. He's done PA announcer for Army football. He's done so many different things over the years. He has one of the greatest voices in all of sports and all of acting, and he's a wonderful guy, and I'm wishing him a happy birthday and many happy returns. Hey, a couple of quick notes on stories that we have mentioned. You remember the last time George Santos was on this program? Last time he was here, he was talking about how he's running for Congress this year, not as a Republican, but as an independent. And he didn't care if he might siphon off enough Republican votes and allow a Democrat to win. Well, it turns out, as of yesterday, he's decided he is dropping out of the race for Congress, will not be running for Congress. Why? Because he does not want to siphon off Republican votes and allow a Democrat to win. I kind of thought that whole thing was just a publicity stunt. And I asked him about it, and he said it wasn't the case. But there you have it. He's out of the race. Something that happened just a couple hours ago, right before we went on the air, is that the Senate has passed a TikTok ban/sale. This is one of the issues we were talking about with Dennis Kucinich yesterday. The U.S. Senate tucked a new law deep into this $95 billion foreign aid package that says ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, would be banned from the U.S. App stores and hosting services if they did not sell the app within a year. I have to tell you, I have mixed feelings about the TikTok ban, but it's an interesting story, and I can understand why people want TikTok banned. But
This should not have been tucked into a foreign aid bill. This should have been voted on independently, as it was a month or two ago, by the House of Representatives, and then Schumer didn't want to schedule it for a vote in the Senate. This bill is important enough and groundbreaking enough to be considered on its own merits. It shouldn't be tucked into a foreign aid bill where if you want to give funding to Ukraine or you want to give funding to Israel or you want to give funding to Taiwan or any of the other countries that are included in that, that you have to be voting to ban TikTok. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it tells me that they weren't sure they had the votes to get a TikTok ban passed unless it was tucked into this foreign aid bill. And it gives all of them political cover. It gives all the people that voted for this political cover to say, well, I had to do it. I had to do it because it was part of that foreign aid bill. I don't like that. Do not like it one bit, I'll tell you that. What I do like is some interesting news that I saw yesterday. You might remember one of my conversations with Dr. Sky a couple of, I'd say a month or two ago, where he indicated that Voyager 1 had finally stopped transmitting data. Well, this is really interesting. Voyager 1 was a probe that we launched in 1977, and it was the first human-made object to leave the solar system. And they said that it had stopped sending useful science and engineering data in November of 2023, even though the spacecraft received commands from Earth. Well, NASA has finally established meaningful contact with Voyager 1 after months of the space probe transmitting gibberish data. So for the first time since November, Voyager 1, which is right now over 24 billion kilometers from Earth, began returning useful data about its health and the status of its engineering systems. This is really cool. NASA then confirmed that the issue was due to one of the spacecraft's three onboard computers that packaged data before transmitting it to Earth, and engineers found that a single chip responsible for storing a portion of this computer's memory, including a portion of its software code, wasn't working, and they were able to fix it remotely. Isn't that crazy? An almost 50-year-old probe is still out there sending us useful information? I think that's really interesting. We're getting awfully close to the key plot point in Star Trek The Motion Picture. I won't spoil it for you if you haven't seen it. But if you haven't seen it, honestly, there's not a big need to see it. Unless you're a newly crazed Star Trek fan or you're a big fan of Robert Wise and you want to see everything that he ever directed. But that was interesting. Speaking of Star Trek, do you know who Tracy Torme is? Tracy Torme was one of my favorite TV writers. Tracy Torme, by the way, was the son of the Velvet Fog, Mel Torme. And he was a terrific writer. He was part of the film Fire in the Sky, which was the Travis Walton alien abduction movie, which I just loved. He was a key writer on Star Trek The Next Generation. In fact, he wrote the first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation that the Borg was featured in. And he was actually a writer on Saturday Night Live when Joe Piscopo was there. He actually knew him at that point when he was doing Saturday Night Live. He also did a show that I loved called Sliders, which, if you're not familiar with the premise of that show, was one of the most interesting premises of any primetime science fiction show ever, which is basically a group of travelers traveling from parallel worlds. Like maybe you go to one world where the British won the American Revolutionary War and how things are different, or a world where they never discovered penicillin. It's really cool, really interesting. First two seasons were interesting. After that, it was not. Well, I was doing some research, I don't remember why, on the TV show Sliders yesterday, and I found out that Tracy Torme passed away in January. So I would have mentioned this back in January had I known about this, but he died from complications due to diabetes in California at the age of 64. So I'm sorry to see that. Keep asking questions.